Another broadcast. We are glad to have you tuning in today. This is the fifth day of May 2023, and we are ready to share the Word of God with you and the things of the Lord, and pray that you be encouraged tonight and strengthened in your walk with Jesus. I tell you what, there's nothing more important in this world than Jesus, that's for sure, and in the world to come as well. But I'm telling you right now, we need to get our eyes on Him. We need to focus on Him and see what He's going to do in our lives as we live in these latter days before his soon return. And we are looking forward to his return. If we're not looking forward for his return, then you need to pray about your relationship with God. Something's not the way it should be, because you should be excited to be seeing Jesus very soon. Hallelujah. I know I'm looking forward to it every day, and thank God that his return is nearer than it ever has been. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to open up with some news here as we start out this evening. Seventh grade student wears a T-shirt saying there are only two genders. That's right. Seventh grade boy and is told by the school to take it off. You can't wear that T-shirt. Change it. You know what? He fights back and says, wait a minute here. You know, I have a right to a voice. And yes, I have a right to a voice. He's not going to back down. Good for that young man to stand up to the ungodly school board that would say something like that. The leadership of that school obviously has some problems. Anyway, Governor DeSantis is throwing the book at pedophiles. That's right. He's throwing the book at them, and he signed a new law allowing the death penalty for a child rapist on Monday. Yes. And Kansas passed a new law that now defines gender as the biological sex. In other words, whatever one was born with, if you have, you know, men parts, you are a man. If you have female parts, you are a female. You know, God only made two, right? Remember what he took into the ark, one of this and one male, one female of the animals, and then, you know, male and female created he them, right? He created he man. Hello, trying to change what God did, not going to work. SatanCon's conference didn't go as the devil wanted. I mean, yeah, they were ripping up the pages of the Bible to kick off the largest Satanism gathering ever in Boston. But over 98 attendees gave their or surrendered their lives to Jesus, verified from the work of covert Christian evangelists that had infiltrated the crowd and were leading people to Jesus in the midst of that. Isn't that amazing, huh? So it didn't quite go the way Satan wanted. He lost 98 of his hold on grip on Satanist people, or people that were involved anyway, wanted to be involved, something. And here we have Elon Musk warning woke mind virus. That's what he calls it. He warns that woke mind virus indoctrination in the schools is far beyond what parents realize. He said, I would have put my children in the government indoctrination centers. You know, I mean, he didn't say that. I said that part. I wouldn't put my children in the government indoctrination centers. I took mine out at a young age, the one of them that did go in for a few years. But the other one never went into the government school system. And I wouldn't put them in today either, definitely not, because they're deceiving people and brainwashing them. So if I had children again, I would have put them in at this time. So, yeah, Elon Musk, he warns that woke mind virus indoctrination that is in schools is far beyond what parents realize. They don't realize how bad this is going on in the government school system. Late-term abortionist of Nebraska, Dr. Leroy Carhart, dies. One of the most notorious abortionists in America, killed more than 30,000 children. Can you imagine having that much blood on your hand over his career and committed abortions at all stages of pregnancy, even the late term? He's known as the late-term Nebraska abortionist. Yeah, he's facing hell and eternal damnation right now. And I don't think he's too happy about the life that he lived here on earth and that he chose on earth right now. Because what he has to face in eternity, my, wouldn't want to be in his shoes. And thank God I'm not in his shoes. So, too bad that he didn't get saved. He could have repented even on the end of his life and not had to go through what he's going through. Isn't that amazing that God would save people that have killed 30,000 babies on their deathbed or whatever, their last few breaths, if they would just cry out to the living God? That's an amazing God that would do such a thing as that. Because we all would judge that man harshly, I think, and condemn him to hell for his wickedness. But even God in his mercy, because of Jesus and his blood, not because of the man, but because of Jesus and his blood. See, he paid the price for all humankind, every one of us. Even Kiss, you know, a co-founder, Kiss, the league's co-founder, Paul Stanley, the lead singer of the band Kiss, which I thought was either knights in Satan's service or kings in Satan's service is what I thought that word stands for. I had that right. But even the lead singer in Kiss comes out against gender reassignment for children in a lengthy post to social media last Sunday. He wrote, there's a big difference between the acceptance and normalization, even encouraging participation. Participation in a lifestyle that confuses your children into questioning their sexual identification as though some sort of game, and then their parents in some cases allow it to happen and take place. And it's amazing that parents would want their son to go and have their genital cut off. That's mutilation. That's abuse. Why would they even want such a thing? I'll tell you. Well, we see a Lutheran seminary chapel singing a Buddhist worship song about being one with the earth. I don't think that should be going on in the church. I think that they should recognize the New Age satanic roots of such a thing, of Buddhism. But evidently they didn't. Non-law enforcement agencies such as the IRS and the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, have spent nearly $4 billion in taxpayer funding on guns, ammunition, and other military-style equipment. A watchdog group has found. So why are they doing that? Gotta wonder about such a thing. Why is that even necessary? They haven't done that in the past. Why are they doing it now? Well, up in Canada, we see Dictator Trudeau, government internet censorship bill C-11 passes and becomes law in Canada. What an oppressive law. What a speech threatening, free speech threatening law, I tell you. You're not free under Dictator Trudeau. More and more, he's coming out with as much as he can get away with. And he has been proven to be a bastard son of Castro. So he's just moving that communism right along, isn't he? But anyway, do not support Fed now coming supposedly in January. And that the plan of Fed now is to do away with cash so that all your transactions can be tracked and the government can turn off and turn on your digital money. And Fed coin comes after Fed now. And so this is the plan. If they can get away with it, we should pray against it right now. In Jesus' name, we come against this plan, the plan of devils to bring in the global financial system at the end here. We come against that in Jesus' name. We rebuke it and pray that they'll not be able to bring that to pass right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you that there'll be confusion and sent into that plan, and the angel of the Lord will stop it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, also found out this week that half of America's banks are on the verge of failure. That's pretty serious. And a lot of banks, people are still running on the banks and getting their money out. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, but it doesn't look good in the natural, so we should pray against that as well, too. So anyway, glad to have you all here tonight. We are done with the news. That's all I'm going to share on news. And I want to share the word, and I welcome you in the chat room, welcome you listening by telephone and listening, just simply listening. So welcome all of you. Appreciate you being here to hear the word tonight. I believe we have a good word for you, and hopefully it will really minister to you and encourage you. And so I'm ready to go into that. But first, we're going to open up in prayer. And there's so many prayer needs today. So I'm just going to pray about a few of them. But we just need to know that we all need prayer. And if you have requests, you could have sent them in, and I would be happy to pray for them on the air. But that's up to you. You know my email address, theoasis1@localnet.com. That's theoasis1@localnet.com. If you have a prayer request you want me to pray about on the air, and we can have other people agree as well. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this evening, and we thank you, Lord, that you hear prayers of the saints, and you hear our cry, Father. And, Lord, tonight you hear us, Lord, as we come to you, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I pray for continued recovery of the brother who had the surgery, Lord, is still in recovery. And we pray for a quick recovery, and not only that, a spiritual strengthening of his life as well. That he'll be stronger in you, Lord, than he's ever been. And, Lord, he'll be hungry for you. And things will change in his life, and we'll see no more of these kind of things taking place of the enemy. We pray for a hedge of protection round about him and blessing for his wife as well, Lord. Minister to them both. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, ministering to those that are sick right now, that in their physical body we rebuke the sickness and infirmity. Thank you for healing and health in their bodies. So the dear brother with cancer, I want to lift him up and rebuke that cancer in his body tonight in Jesus' name. With lung cancer, we pray for healing for him in Jesus' name, for your glory, Father, that he will be completely and totally recovered in the name of Jesus, and really will follow on with you all the rest of the days of his life, Father. Thank you for healing our brother. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we pray for David, who has court on Tuesday. Lord, we ask you for favor and blessing for David and mercy for him. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to, Lord, liberate him and bring him to you, Lord, more than he's ever been, Lord, and that he would have a hunger for God in his life. We bind the devils that have had him in his past and brought him into these situations because of his choices in life that have been influenced by the enemy. But, Lord, we pray, Lord, that things will just turn around in his life, Lord, and that there'll be favor for him from the court. And, Lord, he will cry out to you, Father, more and more and more. And thank you, Jesus, for working, Lord, in his life as well. We appreciate that. And Lord, we pray for a person who has difficulties at work, Father. Pray that you will work things out for them. And Lord, that things will turn around in their favor and things will improve there at the workplace. In Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for safety for a brother who has to travel so many miles to go to work every week when he goes. And Lord, pray for protection around him and blessing at that job, Lord, while he keeps it. In Jesus' name, we praise you for that and worship you now, Lord, for the broadcast tonight. We ask your blessing on it, Father, that you would minister by the power of your spirit, Lord. And we would see spiritual breakthroughs and spiritual encouragement tonight and spiritual signs and wonders and miracles, which will come into the physical realm, of course, and we will see them manifest in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you that our faith will rise up to receive more and more of you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for those who support the broadcast, Father, those who tie to this ministry. We thank you for those people, those dear people who sow tithes and offerings into this ministry. And I pray your blessing on each one of them as well, Lord, that you'll pour them out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, Father, in Jesus' name, that there'll be more than enough, even in the times of trouble that we live in, that God will bless us. And I thank you for blessing those givers, Lord, and those who undergird us with prayer. We thank you for them as well. That's very important that we receive prayer. We're on the front lines in some ways with this broadcast and what we do. So, Father, I thank you for your divine protection and those who pray for us as we do pray for the listeners on a regular basis to the listeners of this broadcast, Lord. And I thank you for ministering to all of them in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin right now in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen, amen. All right, are you folks ready? I'm ready to get into the word. Living free and victorious, or Rebecca's blessing, our blessing. You know, I like both titles. I could decide which one I wanted to use, you know. So I just decided to go with the, living victorious one. I could have called it my other choice, which was Rebecca's blessing, our blessing. But, you know, life is strange sometimes, and it's hard to figure out. We don't understand why a lot of things happen in life. And sometimes it seems like God is nowhere to be found. And at other times, I mean, you just see him in everything in your life and working mightily around you and in you. But, you know, there can be long periods where you think, where is God? I need God. I need Jesus to show up. I need your help, Lord. I need your strength, Lord. I need you, Jesus. And it's saying, where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? And we probably all have times like that in life if we've been a Christian any amount of time. And so, you know, I really need to see you now, and yet it seems like he seems far away at those times. Is he far away? Well, no, he's not, but how many of you have even tried to figure life out? You ever tried to figure life out? Well, I quit that, you know. Why'd you quit it? Well, because I know even if at times it seems God is far off, I know he's going to show up again. You know, and the Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible tells us that. So I quit doing that because I know that he's there in my spirit, living there and dwelling there. He said he'd never leave me, even though he may not be, you know, manifesting his manifest presence at the moment. I know he's there. And you can know that too. You simply walk by faith because that's what the just do, isn't it? But sometimes seasons seem long. I know that. And sometimes it seems like everybody else around is getting blessed and we're not getting blessed. But I'll tell you, hold fast. Because just because he hadn't showed up yet doesn't mean he won't show up either. Okay? And God is working in you during the times of waiting. He's still working in you. He's still working. He's still doing things. And don't think that he isn't. I know that the devil would have you to think that. The devil would lie to you. And he'd have us all think that God has forsaken us. But you know what? The devil is a liar. That's right. And we better remember that the devil is a liar all the time. And if it's not in alignment with the word of God, it's the devil. And he's lying to us. Okay? That's right. So there's a time coming when he will bring you up and out of it. That's right. Out of your pit, out of your long continuance problem, whatever it may be, out of your long wait, out of your dry places. He will bring you up out of that, okay? He hasn't forgot you, okay? The delay will finally end. There sometimes is necessary that there be delays. But you know what? Doesn't last forever. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my foot upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man, that woman, that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Oh, but it lasted so long. Yes, but the blessing is going to come. Hang on. Hang on. Believe in God's goodness toward you. God has goodness toward you. God has a vision, a plan for you. He's not forgotten you. Listen to me. You need to listen to his word for you today from Habakkuk. Let's go over to Habakkuk and read his word for you today. Amen. You want to hear that? You think you can find the book of Habakkuk? Always a challenge to find Habakkuk, right? Page 1087 in my Bible, but it probably doesn't match your Bible. Habakkuk 2, 3, and 4. It says, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence. I'm sorry, I'm reading chapter 1. Here we go. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It's going to come, okay? Though it tarry, wait for it. Why? Because his blessings will surely come. We have a promise here. We have a word from heaven. Do you hear the promise? It will surely come. It will surely come. It will surely come. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Now, not maybe, not I hope so. He didn't say that. He said it will surely come. But there may be a work in you that's going to have to be done in the meantime. Right? Verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Well, sometimes there's got to be a dealing with pride. And we're going to talk about pride tonight in a minute, but not yet. But you know, if you lift it up, there is pride. And it must be removed. You must come to a place of the just shall live by faith. From the place of being in pride, you got to come to the place of the just shall live by faith. See? That's so important. And so it's going to have to be removed, the pride. Just faith. Yeah, just believe. Only believe. All things are possible to him that believe. Trust in Jesus with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding will cause you to go into unbelief. And we need to stay as far from unbelief as possible. Amen. So I want to look at Rebecca's blessing today, for really it is God's blessing for all of us, for you, for me, for all of us. And she's a good example of it and how it can come to pass and the process of it coming to pass of it all. So let's go over to Genesis 24:60, and we'll look at this here. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate thee. That's quite a promise. She received a promise of number one. There are three things here I want to show you tonight. Number one, divine blessing. And they blessed Rebecca. To bless, barak in the Hebrew. And that means to endue with power for success, power for prosperity, power for longevity, provision, protection, glory, honor, and favor. We all need Rebecca's blessing. We all should have it and walk in it. Amen. Rebecca's blessing for you. and me, you know. But this is the divine blessing. Remember the scripture, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. These blessings will come to those who trust God, to who take him at his word and abide in him without attempting to manipulate him and his promises, and who trust that God will bring it to pass in his timing, not ours. Too many Christians today are like little children who throw fits and tantrums when things don't go their way. You know, if you were a wise and loving God who wanted the best for his children, would you give a child what he wanted because he threw a fit and a tantrum? Well, sometimes God is not able to give it to him either, right? Because of that, he helps us to learn and to grow. See, correction is often in order there, you know. And so we see that divine blessing is what God wants to give us. But sometimes we're not ready for it at that time, although there are many divine blessings he gives us, a blessing he gives us every day, right? So promise that here also we see here the promise of supernatural growth, 2460, the mother of thousands and millions and ten thousands and millions. This is a promise of enlargement and growth. For the supernatural of God to show up and take place in her life and in our lives, the blessings on our ministry, the blessings on whatever God has us to do in this life, on our job, wherever we're at. The American church is in desperate need of a supernatural God breakthrough. That's right. We need him to save people, to show up in his mighty power. That's right. I want to just sidestep here for a minute and look at what God, when God shows up. Are you really ready for God to show up? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Let him show up, Pastor. Let him show up. Oh, really? Let's look at a time in the Word where the people had cried out to God to show up, and he did. God showed up in mighty power. The new leader, the judge of Israel, Samson, was full of God's power, and he killed a lion. Killed 1,000 Philistines. He destroyed the temple of Dagon, the fish god. And Samson had moved into a new, unparalleled realm of power. What man had the power that Samson did and the authority that he walked in? And like as, you know, no move. It was like no move of God before for Israel. They'd never seen any man with that kind of power. And yet here we have Samson as our new judge, and he's so strong. He did so many things. Yet this power, you know, is what the church desires today. They desire the power of God, they say today, and yet this power didn't stop him or motivate him enough to deal with his own lust. Samson let his lust bring corruption into his life. Samson didn't walk in his full calling that he was called to walk in. What's wrong with this man? He had the supernatural power of God in him, yet he couldn't walk in the relationship with the Lord. That is sad. That story is so sad. And, you know, we've seen it over and over again. I mean, this is public knowledge, so I could share a few of these old things in the past. Remember Randy and Paula White? They were very blessed. They were in Florida, and they built they were built up and promoted by a famous ministry. And God blessed them, and the church grew and grew and grew and grew into the thousands of thousands to 23,000 members. Power and blessings and favor were upon them. Everything they touched was like turned to gold. They became wealthy, they had possessions, but they drifted. She went her way, he went his. And you know the rest of the story. Divorced, and 23,000, you know, people who were following their ministry and part of that ministry, they were hurt desperately, devastated. And this has happened not just once, but it's happened over and over again. We see the story of all these different, you know, mega ministries, how they fell into sin. And Ted Haggard, I knew him personally. His dad was a deliverance minister, and I knew Ted well, and before he fell, and he was on track for a while, but he got off track, and he's still off track today, last I heard. And Jimmy Baker, and I mean, yeah, Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, and many others who couldn't handle the power, you know, of God when it did show up. And yes, as our blessing comes and we move from unfulfillment to a great fruitfulness, we also move it to another level of temptation and testing that, you know, so we don't want to be too harsh on these people that have been through all kinds of stuff and fallen. And some of them have been restored, some of them haven't. And some of them have come out of their problems, and some of them haven't. Okay? And we could name other names that have been more recent, but like Hillsong, and have built that great big ministry, and yet, you know, he was pulled over for drunk driving recently, and so things have happened, and these people couldn't handle the blessing, and they fell into the flesh and the ways of the flesh, and you know, it's happened over and over. Anyway, we got to be watchful about putting our name on what God is doing, right? Because it, like so many do, they so-and-so's ministry, like Joyce Meyer ministry or such-and-such ministry, whatever, you know, this is not my ministry, it's the Lord's ministry, okay? So much the Lord. I can't take any kind of glory, okay? We give God all the glory, see, and that's where we need to keep it in our lives. When we get the blessing of God, don't get all puffed up because you got so blessed and go around with your head up in the sky somewhere and you're better than everybody else. And I know people like that have done that very thing. They got blessed. Their church grew or whatever, and man, you could get their head out of the sky. You know, they were so up there and above everybody, and yeah, right. And I've been treated badly too by some of those because mine church wasn't as big as their church and such and such. You know, it's not about that at all. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. But anyway, as God enlarges us and brings success or blessing, sometimes we're tempted to be exalted and to put our name and to exalt ourselves. And God loans us his power, gives us his power. We're tempted to use it for our own purposes and glory. That's not right, folks. And here's the key. I tell you, we must learn to keep our hunger on Jesus, on the God of power rather than the power of God. We're hungry for Jesus, and yes, he will give us the power of God. We need to be prepared for our Samson test, and a lot of people are not there. Remember, you know, pride and lust are your enemies. That's right, and if you don't resist these devils, they can bring you a lot of troubles in life. And, you know, we all quote, pride goeth before a fall, but, you know, what you're really quoting, do you really know what you're really quoting, what you're really up against? Well, first of all, it really doesn't say exactly that, which a lot of people are saying. It may say that in some version, but it doesn't say that in the KJV. Let's go to Proverbs 16 and read what it does say. Proverbs 16, and we'll look at verse 18 here. It says, pride goeth before destruction, okay, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what it actually says here. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, there's a lot of people in destruction today because they've gotten lifted up in pride, okay? And not just men, just women too, all right? And pride can bring spirits of destruction and haughty demon, and they can allow and bring a fall. Fall here means in Hebrew, kishalone, to totter, to ruin, to stumble, to waver, to faint, to be decayed. Oh, man, to ruin. Some of God's people have let that pride cause their lives or even their marriages today. Ah, my, how many marriages have pride in them? that bring destruction into their marriage and deception into their marriage, or come to some manner of ruin in their marriage. Hey, man, you need to humble yourself and go to war against your spirits of pride. You need to admit that, hey, dear wife, I have been haughty and in pride, and I have not treated you right, not talked to you right, and I've not treated you with the respect that you should have been treated with. Not just men, but women too. You operate in pride, especially if there's rejection, for pride is also a covering for other demons as well. And many male and female who have pride spirits, you know, the things that they have in there, pride spirits come in because of the rejection spirit. See, the problem with pride is it's hard for people who have pride to see it, that it is even there, and face that they're in pride, okay? That they are being prideful and proud, because pride is very subtle and it will build a stronghold, and one will not be able to discern that it's even there, okay? They don't, because pride is covering, and it covers itself as well to deceive, and it does not be able to discern what is going on there. But there are signs of it, and we should learn to recognize the signs, okay? Look at Proverbs 13:10. We'll see one of the signs of pride. And you may not even realize you're in contention, but it is a sign of pride. Only by pride cometh contention. That's strife. If you're having a lot of strife in your marriage, there's probably some pride there, right? Whether it's that you or the wife or in both of you, it could be in both of you, not either one of you wanting to admit that you're wrong, not either one of you wanting to humble themselves and listen to the other. You know, how many times have there been contention in marriages and strife in their marriages and churches and jobs and families because of pride? The pride spirit is behind a whole lot of strife and contention and discernment. You need to discern it and go to warfare against it, folks. You need to recognize it. You know, another thing about pride that you can help recognize that it's there, go to Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. Daniel 5, verse 20 tells us another way that we can recognize these spirits of pride being in our lives. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Well, here we see another one, hardened, you know, lifted up and hardened in pride. You need to be on guard against getting hardened by pride. There are people who are hard right now because of pride. And then no one can speak into your life or correct you. When you get hardened in pride, who can correct you? Who can speak into your life? You know it all. You're so high and mighty, and nobody can tell you anything. You're right in your own eyes. That's a bad place to let yourself get to, folks. It's a place of deception, and pride can bring you to shame as well. So we look at the third one here in Obadiah 3, and there's another book of the Bible that's probably rather difficult for many people to find. But an easy way to find Obadiah, since it's only one chapter, is just remember Amos, Obadiah. Now, right after the book of Amos. Amos and Andy, right? No, the book of Amos. And so here we see Obadiah 3, the word that we want to look at here. The pride of thine heart has deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rocks, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? I'm so high and mighty, who will ever bring me down? Yeah, you better be on guard against deception. That's number three here, deception. How many people are bound by spirits of deception because of giving place to pride? Lots of people are giving place to pride and are right now living under deception because of it. And I'm talking about Christian people. That's right. Preachers and teachers. Where do you think a lot of the deception in churches come from? The wrong teaching that's in a lot of churches today, it's from prideful pastors and teachers. That's right. So you need to be on guard against that. as well, because if they're caught up in pride and pride, haughtiness, arrogance, superiority, these are all evil spirits common to people, male and female. I remember I ministered to a woman one time who was told me she was superior to everybody. She believed herself above other people. Arrogance and superiority and haughtiness was rooted in her pride. They were all rooted in her pride. These are all demons. And, you know, demons don't travel alone. There's one demon. There's other demons always, you know. And there's always one demon, so there's always other demons too. So she was caught up in great deception because of her pride too, because she thought she was superior to other people. And obviously she is not, but she thought she was. And I lost touch with her, and if her deliverance didn't get her through, then that garbage, you know, that she had, she may still be like that way today. And how many more live with these kind of spirits today and you don't know about it? Look, I mean, look at a nation today. Oh, my, and the LGBTQ garbage. What a mess we see our nation in today. Let's look at Ezekiel 16, and I'm going to use a lot of scripture tonight. Sometimes I use more than others. Well, this is one of them, 16:49 here. And it says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." Wow, isn't that something? And what do we see going in our nation today? Gay Pride Day, Pride Parade, Pride Day at Disney, LGBTQ Day, and Transgender Day. I mean, listen, the word says your pride will bring you low. In other words, it's going to bring you down. It's going to bring you down, down, down. Okay? Down into the devil's territory, that's for sure. But it brings you down. And if you keep feeding those spirits, you keep yielding to them, submitting to them, with no facing them with confession and repentance and no turning away and deliverance and whatever you need to do, you get rid of them. They need to go. They need to be confronted and cast out. You need to turn away from pride and turn to humility and complete and total dependence on Jesus every day of your life and his greatness and abilities, not yours. No, totally Jesus. Totally Jesus. See, and we see all this garbage going on because of pride in this country, pride of politics, pride of the gender pride, the homosexual pride, the lust pride, all these different prideful spirits in manifestation today. Look at our people. Are you controlled and influenced by our American culture and society, or do you influence the American society yourself for good and God? Do you let society dictate your lifestyle? Are you trying to be cool? Now, this is a problem, and, you know, everybody wants to be cool. Everybody wants to fit in. Everybody wants to, you know, be Mr. and Miss Cool. Will they put that on your gravestone, he or she was cool? Does it really even matter if you were cool or not? I mean, is cool what counts in society today? Is cool what counts in eternity? It might be in society, but it's not in eternity. Was Jesus cool? How much of your life was formed by TV, by internet, by peer pressure, by cool and trying to fit in cool? Spirits of being cool. Oh, my God. What is wrong with life that it is spent by so many pursuing the cool, man, to be in the squad, to be in the, you know, the cool zone? Who will ever get into these people's life and get in their face and give them something real to live for instead of just trying to fit in and be cool. Really, I mean, something wrong here, okay? Too many people waste their lives in a trance, in a stupor of insignificance, trying to be cool, trying to make money, trying to impress other people, impress the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever. And Americans are so preoccupied with petty nothingness, you know, little nothing that mean nothing in forever land, in eternity land. They mean nothing, yet what are we so caught up in? You know, caught up in all this stuff, you know. Heaven and hell, they mean nothing in that. I mean, we got to recognize, folks, that we're in a war, in a life and death war, a darkness and light war, a heaven and hell war. Look at this guy. This guy was something. He was Jack Lucas. He was only 14 years old when he fast-talked his way into the Marines and fooled them by his very well-developed body of a full-grown man. And so driving a truck in Hawaii, he'd grown frustrated, and he wanted to fight. He wanted to get on the front line, so he stowed away on a transport out of Honolulu, and surviving on food passed on to him by sympathetic Marines on board. And he landed on D-Day at Iwo Jima without a rifle, so he grabbed one laying on the ground from somebody that had lost it and died, I guess, and fought his way inland. Jack and three comrades, three other Marines, were crawling on the ground in a trench when eight Japanese sprang in front of them. Jack shot one of them in the head, then his rifle jammed. But that didn't stop him. As he struggled with it, a grenade landed at his feet. He yelled, you know, a warning, and rammed the grenade into the soft ash. Immediately, another grenade rolled in. Jack Lucas, 17 by that time, fell over onto both grenades, thinking, Luke, you're going to die, you know. Just, in other words, he thought this was it. But he didn't. Amazingly, aboard the hospital ship, the doctor could hardly believe it, yet he lived and endured 21 reconstructive surgeries and became the nation's youngest Medal of Honor winner ever. Well, that's amazing. Where's that kind of sacrificial living today? Here we have the U.S. Navy has hired a transgender pervert to recruit people for the Navy. Is that what, you know, the military used to be? No, they wouldn't put up with that garbage. But today, we're living in a day that we have a wimp army. Is that what we have because of that? Are they trying to be, you know, what are they trying to do? You know, I was in the army, I tell you, they put up with that. I mean, my drill instructor, when I was going through that, I mean, he treated me harshly. He did not treat me well. He kicked me one day, kicked me really hard, man. I tell you, because, you know, he didn't like me too much because he saw me before I came in. He didn't like what he saw, and then he made sure he picked on me a lot during basic. But anyway, I wasn't a Christian then. I came in as long hair, and he evidently didn't like people with long hair. But anyway, still, I wasn't know what they're taking in today, nothing like that. I was ready to go fight or do whatever for the country, you know. I went in there. But still, that's a sad thing that we see. Where's that kind of sacrificial living? Caring more about others and their lives than their own. Yeah, I was still messed up then, though, because I was not saved, I tell you. But here's the story of much of the American church, Philippians 2:21. Let's go over there, and we'll look at this. Ephesians, Philippians here, 2:21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Well, evidently there was a problem like that back then when Paul wrote the book of Philippians. Right? Yeah, there was obviously a problem there. And so they're all seeking their own. We all want to look good. We all want to be cool. We all want to preserve ourselves. We're not so concerned about somebody else. See, America is a self-centered, hedonistic society ruled by self-pride, and it is destroying us as a nation. We got this woke thing, which is rooted in pride and deception, too. I mean, we live for our favorite, you know, sport, our favorite internet show or movies, a TV program, possession or hobby for sex. How we have lost our real purpose, I tell you. And we can enjoy things, but, you know, we can't live for them. They're not what we're called for. You know, my life has been given for the church for 40, almost 40 years of pastoring here. We're 40 years in this year, and people for years now. I've laid down my life for people, and, you know, there's been times when I wanted to do things, go places, do things, couldn't do them simply because I was serving the church, serving God's people, you know, laying down my life for them. At many times, I give up my time to serve over and over for all these years. And yet people don't want to do that today. They don't want to lay down their life to serve others. They don't. That's foreign to them. They want to be served. In fact, you know, I think all Democrats are takers. They're not givers. I think they're all takers. They want to take from you, you know. Take it. You got a free handout? We'll take it. You have money? We'll take it. You know, power? We'll take that. Taking whatever they get. Right? I'm sorry to say that, but there's more givers found among the Republicans than there are among the Democrats. And that's just an observation of mine. But anyway, Hebrews 13:13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. See, I'm seeking an eternal city. And that's what this is about, folks. It's not about just here. You know, we act like this life is going to continue forever. No, we're all going to die. If Jesus doesn't come first, we're all going to die. Okay? And I noticed in America lately, they don't talk about, you know, death like they used to. Many, many years ago, they would talk about death in society, and it was something that was of a great concern, and they spent time just talking about it, but now they just push it under the carpet. I mean, they don't want to talk about death. They don't want to face death. But this world system is not our home, folks. We're just strangers and sojourners, according to the Word of God, just passing through. You know, what is your real treasure today? You know, if you thought about that, what is your real treasure? Is it money? Is it recreation? Is it your family? Is it accumulating more stuff? Is it sex? Is it more money? Is it your job? What satisfying self? You know, our society is driven by the suicidal craving to gratify and satisfy itself at any cost. And that is not the way to live a happy life, I'm telling you. That is not the way to be happy. You're not going to find happiness in self-gratification. That's not what the Word of God teaches. He that would be greatest among you, let him become the servant of all. That's what the Scripture teaches. Are we going to believe the Word of God? Are we going to believe some nonsense of Satan that he tries to propagate as being, oh, you'll be fulfilled. Yeah, just serve yourself. Get all you can. Live for you. Right. Is that what the Word really teaches? No, it's not. And it's not something we like to hear about either. But it's the truth. Matthew 6:19. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's pretty strong too, isn't it? Too many Christians are asking the wrong question today. What's wrong with this movie? What's wrong with my friends that I have? What's wrong with this music that I like to listen to? What's wrong with this game I'm playing on the internet? What's wrong with my gaming on the Sony, whatever you're gaming with, or my boyfriend or my girlfriend or shopping at this store? What's wrong with drinking this or smoking that? What's wrong with smoking a little weed here or there? You know, these kind of questions don't lead to a godly life, folks. It simply leads to, you know, justifying one sin, a way to try to justify your sins, and to a list of what I can't do, what I don't do, or whatever. But it just, you try to justify these things. It, you know, it's just taking you into the devil's territory, into the devil's playpen. What are you doing? No, the question to ask is, how will this help me to glorify and exalt Jesus Christ? Will this do that? Will this game glorify Jesus? Will this movie glorify Jesus? Will these friends glorify Jesus? Will this relationship help me to glorify the Lord and lift him up? Will smoking this weed glorify Jesus? Would Jesus ride up on a horse smoking a Marlboro and saying, come on over here, let me preach to you? Would Jesus ride up smoking some weed? Would that glorify the Lord? How will this bring me closer to Jesus? See, the right questions are positive questions. So really, the question should be positive, not negative. Well, you know, what are we asking? Why are we asking that question? What is your motivation? 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That ought to answer a lot of your questions. Can you go smoke weed to the glory of God? Can you go get drunk on alcohol to the glory of God? Can you go out there and fornicate and commit adultery to the glory of God? There's your answer, really. You know, how can I enjoy exalting Jesus in this behavior? See, these are the questions we ought to be asking. Oh, how much time and how many lives are wasted by people who believe the Christian life means simply avoiding badness and providing for family. This is another area. So there is no adultery in this family. There is no stealing. There's lots of hard work during the day and lots of pure flicks on TV at night, watching the Christian movies and the Christian TV and PG-13, you know, DVDs in the evening, or so-called quality family time, and lots of fun stuff on the weekend and concerts and parties around the church and around Christian community mostly, of course. And this is life for millions in the United States. Yeah, wasted life, empty life. I mean, we're created for more than this, folks. We're created for more than this. Yeah, no one is ever going to want to say 5 minutes after death, well, I just lived to make money, or I just spent my every night playing games and watching Christian TV with my family because I love them so much. Hello, you should have put Jesus first in your life. Should have done more than just provide for your own and yourself, you and your four and no more, right? You're called to more than that. You're called to reach out, to be bold, like those 100 people that went, I mean, those people that infiltrated the SatanCom conference in Boston, Massachusetts, and led 98 Satanists to the Lord there. I mean, they were not thinking of themselves. They went in with stealth, and they led 98 of them to Jesus. Confirmed, 98 of them got born again. Wow, would you do that? Oh, no, I can't give up my family time. I can't give up my job time. I can't do this, can't do that. Oh, I would have feel right going around those Satanists anyway, yeah. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And television is one of the greatest life wasters of modern times. And internet too, right? Just the ads on the TV and the internet are enough to sow greed, lust, and discord. No matter what show you're watching, you see the sexual things there. You see the lustful thing. You see the desire for, you know, look at them. They're all drinking and having a good time. So you must have to have a drink in your hand if you're going to have a good time, right? No, that's the devil's ads. He's trying to deceive you. He's trying to fool you. And trying to make you think you have to have a drink to enjoy life. Or, you know, that's just a lie, see? It's just a lie. The mind that feeds on TV diminishes. Your mind is created to know and love Jesus and to grow up into more and more of him, and this is ruined by excessive TV. And I'm not saying never watch any TV. That's up to you and God. You know, there are some things that are acceptable to watch. There are some times we need some recreational time. We all need to rest and have some recreation. But I'm not saying watch TV. I'm saying that's between you and God. See? But if you have excessive TV and movies in your life, you have too much, you know, and it's not glorifying to God. Someone said America is the first culture in danger of amusing itself to death. Right, entertaining itself to death, just entertainment, entertainment all the time. And we all live in a world created by television right now and media and computers. It's almost impossible to see what has happened to us, how that we are drunk on the wine of Babylon and don't even know it. We're drunk on a sin-drenched society. Deceived by the lies of the so-called American dream, which is being shattered more and more every day. Our borders are wide open while they come across the border in droves, 10,000 in 1 week to El Paso alone. I mean, and to just let them go all over the country, these people that who knows what they really are. Some of them are coming in to take over of America. Some of them are soldiers. Some of them are, you know, drug dealers. Some of them are really wanting to get in for a better life for themselves. And, you know, and that's fine, but you need to go the right way and go through the channels and become American citizens the right way and not come sneaking into the country across the border and disobeying the laws and doing things that you have no business doing here. Okay? But see, we've missed what life is really about. We have. I tell you, and we've opened so many doors to demons in this land because of it. Those all types of demons that are associated with being prideful and selfish, self-centered. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. In other words, don't be drunk on the wine of Babylon, right? And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Where's the love in the church? Do you feel loved when you go to church? You need to feel loved. We love people of our church. We love the people that, you know, we do our best to show love because we care about them. We pray for them every day. We pray for people that listen to this broadcast that are part of the radio church. Pray for the people of the radio broadcast every day. See, but are people really like that in society? I've gone to so many churches where they didn't even greet me, didn't even say hello to me. I've gone to churches where there was no kindness whatsoever in the church toward us, you know, and we visited churches like that because we like to go to churches when we travel. We visit other churches, and we go and see what's going on in them, you know, and find things out, see what's happening. 1 Thessalonians 5:6-8. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, that's the born-again people, the church of the Lord, true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. This is who we are. Put on that breastplate. What are we doing? We got to be sober. We got to be drunk on the world and the devil's world, and, you know. But yet we're drunken as a society. We believe that the America can do whatever it wants. Yeah, and all's going to be okay. No, we cannot just do whatever we want and everything just be okay. Listen, we're living in an occultic society right now. We're living in a perverse society. We believe, you know, things are going to just go on as they have been. They're not going to go on. They're already changing tremendously from what they have been. And yet it's happening, and it's like a, you know, so subtle the way that these things are happening. People were not doing anything or recognizing it. It's like, you know, you can't get out of the bucket. You know, you're stuck in the bucket with the crab. It won't let you out. And Yeah. It may take a long time. Yeah, it might. But, hey, our time will run out. Sin does have a cost. We will have a rude awakening. I mean, it is happening now. And, yeah, many people are still blind to it, living in their self-deception. That's right. Very much so. To be, you know, to live is going to have to be Jesus and to die is gain, like the Word of God says. To live must be Christ, to die is gain. And I have to say, where is this philosophy and sound biblical truth in our culture today? Even in the church I'm talking about, where is this culture? Most Christians don't read their Bible. Most Christians don't know what it says. They don't know where to find things. You know, I groan over the petty pursuits of this life in America that wasted so many lives today. You know, how many have read the sports section? Hey, you get a whole section in the paper, man. But do you get a God section? There's home and garden section. There's the horoscopes. You're always going to see that oral horoscope in there, that astrology. Oh, yeah, which is occultism. But there's no God section. You know, there's no God section with all the news about God. No God news. What's God doing today? Well, I don't know. We don't put that in our paper. Entertainment section, fun, leisure section, TV guide. All these ads, you know, clothing and groceries and games and fantasies and emptiness and sex and unreality and perverse stuff. I mean, it's there. But what's God doing today? Is there any God section? I know that some church put out a church section once in a great while or once every week. Some church, some newspapers do put out the section where all the churches are listed. But there's often no God stuff there that doesn't tell you what God is doing, doesn't tell you anything about the Bible. They might put one scripture there sometimes. That's a once a week. But the sports section, man, that's every day. Where are the radicals for Jesus today? Who stands up and stands out today? Dare to be a Daniel, you know, that old song. Old church song, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to go against the flow, to be bold as a lion. Are you bold as a lion today? Or you got to be cool? You're afraid what people are going to think about you. Fastly strong in Jesus Christ? What will you be? You got to be a Mr. or Miss Cool? Or a Jesus-loving person at any cost? Where are you at today? Are you caught up in the emptiness of our society or are you filled up with Jesus? What's your forte? Are you moving forward in Christ or are you backsliding and struggling with a backslidden condition? We need to learn to war against the spirit of the age because the spirit of the age will overwhelm you and overcome you if you allow it to do so. And the time that we live in, you need to war against those spirits that are being released in the times that we're living in. Yes, that's right. There are blessings. Blessings in the Lord. Blessings. Remember the blessings of Rebecca. I haven't got to number three blessing. Let's go to number three. So we need to know the promises of victory and spiritual warfare. That's blessing number three to Rebecca. If you remember Genesis 24:60, where we were, where we started, and we're not done, but we've had some other things to talk about, but still, Genesis 24:60, I'll reread it to you so that you remember. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate thee. See, this is a promise, the last part of the verse here, the promise of victory and spiritual warfare. May your descendants possess the gates of those who hate you, hate them. Our promise today is that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. You believe that? That's you, I. We're the church. And the gates of hell need not be able to prevail against us in Jesus' name, against you and I. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That's a promise here. That's for us as well as for Rebecca. These promises were for us as well. Yes, at times it might look like the enemy is winning. Oh, yeah, we've all had times that it looks that way. But the Bible says he shall not prevail. He shall not win because we win eventually because we've read the book of God. If you have, it tells you that. It might be a long fight, and you might be in the midst of one right now that it looks like it ever isn't ever going to be over. It might be a long one, but you know what? If you faint not, we win. You win. Faint not. That's the thing. If people are fainting, quit fainting. Don't faint when the pressure's on. Don't faint when things aren't changing when you want it to change. I know that things, you know, there's the trying and the testing of our faith. There's, you know, the enemy's going to do whatever he can to try to get you out of believing God, to get you out of your faith walk, to get you away from believing that Jesus is going to come through for you. But you know what? Some of them quit right before their blessing comes, right before they turn the corner to the blessing. Don't quit. Don't fall out. That's right. We may even fall down a few times, but God will lift us back up, and we continue to fight by the grace and the power of our Lord. That's right. Continue in the good fight of faith. Continue in the good fight of faith. So Rebecca, she received some great promises, as we have, each of us. But for a long time, she didn't see it, though, because she was barren. She was barren, remember? She was barren for a time. How can these promises be true? She must have asked. What did they say over me? It hasn't happened. Where is this promise? Where is the blessing on me that was promised and prayed for me? I can't even have a child. Nothing is happening. And it looked that way, like nothing was happening. It looked that way. But, you know, intercession is a key, right? Where there is barrenness, there must be a cry out, a pleading, an intercession made to God. See? Where there's barrenness, you need to cry out to God. You need to cry out in the name of Jesus in faith to God. If you're feeling barren, if you're feeling overtaken by the enemy, you need to cry out. You need to cast out devils. You need to do spiritual warfare. Genesis 25:21. And it says here, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. He interceded for his wife. Because she was barren and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Who else interceded and pleaded for his wife, and she brought forth a child? That's right. It became brought a great blessing and move of God. Remember Zacharias in Luke 1:13. Zacharias, he pleaded and cried out, and his wife had a child, see? And when Zechariah saw him, but the angel of the Lord said, verse 13, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, Zacharias, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, thy intercession is heard, and the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. So intercession, are you interceding for your condition that you're in? Are the things that you're going through, are you interceding? Are you entreating the Lord? So yeah, God is going to show up for you again. You got to intercede. You got to seek his face. You got to plead with him according to his word. Quit focusing on your lack of blessing and focus on the God of your blessing. Amen? Because your blessing shall come. You will not be barren. If you will seek him, you will not come up barren. You will not come up empty. Okay? Quit focusing all the time on the negativity, on the lack, on the stuff you're going through all the time, and focus on the God of blessing. The God is going to bless you again. The blessing of the Lord will come again on you. Amen. Wait on his timing. There's a time for everything. Prepare yourself for the test of the blessing, for it shall surely come. Wait for it. Expect it and give God all the glory when it comes. Or if you're in it right now, give God all the glory. And remember where it came from. Don't forget where the blessings come from. They come from the Lord who made heaven and earth, the Lord our Savior, the Lord our Redeemer, the Lord our friend, our deliverer. He's the one who blesses us. He's the one who takes care of us. He's the one who's going to bring us through this race to the finish line. He's the one we could depend on in the midst of great difficulty, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of trial, in the midst of a woke part of the society that is so woke and so messed up that they're destroying everything we know. He's everything to us. He is our God. He is a faithful God. That's right. He is a faithful God. Remember, don't allow pride to say you did that. You got that by your own abilities. Don't get puffed up when you do get it either. A lot of people get puffed up and they think they're superior and they put themselves in a demonic situation if demons of pride come in. We talked about pride a while ago. I don't want to go back into that, but, you know, this needs to be mentioned here. When you get blessed, oh, I got my boat, you know, so I'm not going to be coming to the church next few weeks, Pastor. I'll be out riding in my new boat. You riding your new boat on Saturday? Yeah, it's okay to take a vacation, okay, and not go to church a couple of times a year, of course. But, hey, you know, when that boat starts taking the place of Jesus and, you know, you start doing that, or fishing start taking the place, shopping start taking the place, putting it before the Lord and all that, then you're making an idol out of your blessing. And we don't want to make an idol out of anything, okay? So remember where it came from and give him thanks and praise him, and don't let that pride come in. Don't let that pride come in and say, well, you know, now that I got this, I'm cool now. No, you keep yourself humble. You say, I'm totally still dependent on Jesus, because if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have this blessing. If it wasn't for Jesus, you know, so I'm going to keep glorifying him. I'm going to keep my focus on him. I'm going to keep in his presence. I'm going to not let it go just because I have all these new things or I get blessed or whatever. No. Are you ready to accept God's timetable? Instead of your timetable, maybe you need to repent for your tantrums and your fits and your, you know, blowing up because God didn't come through when you thought he was supposed to come through the way he should have come through for you. God, you bless me when you're ready, Lord. I know you're going to bless me, though, because you promised to bless me. Are you ready to put yourself fully in his hands? That's right. Fully in his hands. Do you have yourself fully in his hands right now? Right? Or do you have some Samson attitudes that need to die? You know, do you have some Samson attitudes that need to go? Some Samson demons He had demons from pagan women and from fornicating with all these different women and from lusting after them. He had demons of pride working that he thought he was never going to lose his strength, and so much so that he was even seduced by the woman to give the secret of his power, and he didn't think he'd really lose it because he got up as if he had at other times and was going to run the Philistines off, but he couldn't get up that time. Somehow he thought he wasn't going to lose it, and he lost it. He had to lose that power that he had, that supernatural power, being a strong, super strong person. That had killed 1,000 Philistines just on his own bare hands. I mean, wow. Yeah. Do you have some Samson attitudes you need to get rid of today? Some Samson demons that need to go? Well, I don't know, but maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know where you're at with Jesus right now. If you haven't told me, I don't know. How would I know? I wouldn't know unless you tell me. And so Jesus knows, though, and really, that's the most important thing, that Jesus knows. And Jesus can deal with it if you let him, can change you if you let him. Jesus can deliver you from the demons if you let him. Jesus can change you if you allow him, he could bring you out of your trouble. He could bring you out of this seeming perpetual land of trouble that it seems like you've been in for a while now. Could it be there's some curses in operation? That's why you're having all these trouble? Could it be that there's some spirits that have been let in somehow that cause you all these troubles that you've been dealing with in life lately? What could be going on there? What do you think? Could it be that you've got lifted up in pride? Could it be that? Could it be? Maybe. Maybe not. You know, I don't know. Like I said, unless God gives me a word about you, and you know, would I say it about you anyway? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I would give a word and not give your name if he gave me something. I could do that, and I have done that before. But I don't like to embarrass people, but I do like to tell the truth, what Jesus tells me, and share it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to stop here. I think we shared enough on that tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the word of God this evening. Thank you that we are able to share it and share the things of the Spirit too, and the blessing, and how that we can walk in the victory that God would have us in and overcome, and that you've given us the blessing of spiritual warfare. You've called us out of darkness and to live in this marvelous light that you've given us, and that, yes, that we're going to continue to get brighter and brighter until your return, Lord, and we praise you for that. We thank you for the good work of God in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just believe that the Lord wants to encourage you tonight, and would you let him? Would you let the Lord encourage you? Would you really, truly give the things that have been bothering you to Jesus and really let him take care of them? I mean, really let go. Really let go. When you let go, you don't keep just dwelling on it over and over and over and thinking it over and over and over and worrying about it over and over, because when you really, really let go, giving it to Jesus, he's got it. And you have peace. And you know that he's going to come through. That's really the place you need to be with these things. Instead of worrying about them and trouble about them and fretting and fretting and fretting, feeling so horrible about it and wanting it to end, and if you give it to Jesus tonight, just give it to Jesus and really let him have it. Let him take charge of it. Let him relieve you of the pressure. The enemy will torment you with things over and over and over and over again. If you let him, he'll just keep on until he can try to wear you out with it. Try to wear out the saints in the last days. You know, that's what the Bible says he's going to try to do. But may be successful with many, but he doesn't have to be successful with all. Do you think that first means he's successful with all? No, it doesn't. Not going to wear us all out. He's going to try to wear us all out. But if you draw near to him, he says, the word says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the enemy, you know, and I will always cause you to triumph through me, Jesus said. So there's a place of triumph in your difficulty and coming out on the other side of it. There's a place of triumph for you. That's right. That's right. Some people are staying up all night because they haven't given things to Jesus. That's right. Would you give it to Jesus? Thank you, Lord God Almighty. We praise you tonight. Praise you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord said, I have a refreshing for you if you'll take it, but you'll have to receive my refreshing. It's for you. If you'll receive my refreshing, I will refresh you in your walk with me. I will bring a refreshing into your life that will strengthen you spiritually, and it will cause you to rise up stronger in me. but you have to receive my refreshing. I'm offering it to you. Just begin to receive it. Just begin to receive it right now. If you want, just lift up your holy hands unto the Lord and say, I receive your refreshing, Lord. I receive your refreshing, Lord. I need refreshed. I need to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit. I need to be refreshed by you, Lord. I receive it. I receive it. Pour it out on me, Lord. Pour your refreshing out on me tonight, Lord. I receive it. I need to be refreshed. I've been so unrefreshed lately. Been going through so much lately. But I need your refresh, you say. Well, just receive it right now. Just receive it right now. Just receive it right now. Receive the refreshing of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said he'd do it. You got to receive it. Believe it. Receive it. Believe it. Receive it. That's how things come in the kingdom. If you don't believe it or you go with all these doubts, you're not going to receive it. But if you'll just believe him and take him at his word, he'll do it. He'll bring refreshing into your life. You need some refreshing. You need some. I tell you, I'll take it. I'll take it any time. Amen. Refresh us, Lord. How long has it been since you prayed in tongues for 20, 30 minutes? I tell you, I did it again this week. I prayed in tongues probably 45 minutes, something like that. And man, I got so refreshed. You know, the Bible says that he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. It builds you up. It refreshes you. And the rest of that day just went, wow, you know. And it's so important that you don't let your prayer language just go into default. I mean, just fall into disuse. That's the word I meant. Disuse. Yes. If you have it, use it. I pray in tongues every day. You know, I pray in tongues every day. It may not be 45 minutes every day in tongues, but I do pray in tongues every day. But when I do pray 45 minutes or an hour, my, that's an amazing thing of what the Lord will do. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. We worship you. All right, we're going to take a little intermission here, then we're going to come back and we're going to cast out some demons for a while. Do whatever the Lord wants. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we'll be back in just about 3 or 4 minutes. Thank you.
I know how much you love me, because you died for me. Now I know why, now I know why you kept loving me. Now I know how much you love me, because you died for me. Because you died for me. Because you died.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Welcome back. We're ready to move into some deliverance for the evening. Ah, thank you, Lord. All right. Let's get it started here. Deliverance is the children's bread. So if you'd like some bread tonight, then I think that we should make some available. Oh, we want to pray for a brother here. He's going to be escorting, Christopher's, his son's, who was murdered, fiance to National Police Week next Wednesday. They're honoring Christopher at the wall for fallen officers. Pray that his mother will be kept at bay from Maddie and I. Okay, we pray for that right now in Jesus' name, since you made it here public on the chat room. So we pray for that in Jesus' name, that things will work out and be a good time, not a time of remembrance, but not a time of a destructive time, but a building up time and a time that others can be helped and encouraged too, as well as the dad and his fiance as well, Lord. And we thank you for that. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, thank you for protection around them from the enemy. In Jesus' name, and from work by the son's mother. But I don't know her. I don't know what's the matter there, but we pray that that'll be taken care of too. In Jesus' name, we bind the devil and we cover them as they travel over there with the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' name, as your protection around them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's get rid of this rejection spirit. Rejection is a problem because it is often accepting of pride, because rejection is hidden underneath the pride. Maybe we should do pride first, then we'll do the rejection. Well, we come against the pride right now. All that pride. We rebuke the spirit of pride today, all that haughty spirit. In Jesus' name, I bind you, pride and haughtiness. You come out of there in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out, 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 come out. That haughty, prideful spirit, come out all the way out. All that haughtiness and all that pride. We're talking to you tonight. Come out in Jesus' name. 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 Come all the way out in Jesus' name. Loose the people. Let them go. All that pride, pridefulness in Jesus' name. Every bit of it, you have to come out. All that pride, 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 go in Jesus' name, up and out, up and out. All that spirit of destruction, we break the destruction because of the pride that is there. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go. All that spirit of destruction comes from pride, and with pride, come out, and with haughtiness, come out. Come out, 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 all the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go all the way out, all prideful spirit. We're talking to you this evening. You have to obey. You have to let go of people. Come out, pride. Come out, pride. Come out, all that pride in Jesus' name, all the way, all the way, all the way out, all pride, go, 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 religious pride, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, spiritual pride, all those pride spirits, go, that Pharisee pride, come out, Jesus' name, all that Pharisee pride, Sadducee pride, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, up and out, all the way out, in Jesus' name, all pride has to go, up and out, all that pride. We rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Take a few coughs. Get it moving. Let it go. Two deep breaths. Get it moving. All the way out. All that pride. Family pride. Come on. Religious pride. All those pride. Pride. Racial pride. Come on. All those prides. Come out. In Jesus' name. Every bit of it. All that pride. Generational pride. Come out. The blood of Jesus, go in Jesus' name. On all that rejection, you come out. All that spirit of rejection, come out. All that rejection from the womb, all those spirits of rejection, rejected by father, rejected by mother, rejected by spouse, come out, come out. Rejected by men, rejected by women, all those rejection spirits, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come on. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out now. All the way out. Up and out. Up and out in Jesus' name. Up and out in Jesus' name. All that rejection. Come on. Rejection from the womb. You were not wanted. Come out, all that rejection from the womb. Come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out. All that spirit of being unwanted, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 all the way out. Come on, all the way out. All that rejection from the womb. All that unwanted spirit, all the spirit that the parent didn't want them, you got to go, come out, come out. It was an accident. I wasn't planning to get pregnant. Come out. All those spirits of rejection that came in through that, they really didn't want to be pregnant with you. Come out of it. We break that curse. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out. All rejected by father, rejected by mother. Come out in Jesus' name. Rejected by father, rejected by mother. Come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Father rejection, mother rejection. Go, come out, come all the way out. Grandma and grandpa rejection. Come out, all rejection spirits. Go. Go, go, all that rejection, come out, feeling God rejected you. He hasn't, but you might feel that because the devil tells you those lies, come out of there. All that rejection by God, thinking that God is rejecting you, come out. That's a lying spirit because we know God doesn't reject you. He said you're accepted in the beloved in Christ. Come out all the way out. All the way out, all the way out, come 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 out, all the way, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all that arrogant spirit go through, arrogancy, come out, stupor, drunk on the wine, that drunkenness, drunk on the wine of Babylon, that worldly drunkenness on the system of darkness, come out, all that stupor of darkness, come out, come on, all the stupor spirit, come out, all the stupor and the drunkenness on Babylon, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, come out in Jesus' name, go. All that drunkenness on Babylon, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, up and out of there. Go, 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 go. Keep coming out, keep coming out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, you have to go, come out of there, all the way. That spirit of drunk on the world, drunk on Babylon, come out. That drunkenness, spirit of drunkenness on the times that we live in, drunkenness, worldly drunkenness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. right now, that frustration come out. You've been frustrated lately. You're just kind of going through a frustration time. We rebuke that spirit of frustration, frustrated with everybody, it seems. Come out of there right now. Come out of there. What's going on in your life right now that allowed that to come in there? Come out of it all the way out. Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All that frustration spirit. Go. Being frustrated with everything, everybody. Come out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them. Let them go. Loose them. Let them go. All the way out. All the way out. Come out now. Keep coming out. Come out. Up and out. All that spirit of frustration. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Go. All that frustration. All the way out. Been making you kind of mean. All that meanness. You go. All that meanness. Treating people mean, being angry at people, come out right now. Come on out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, you got to go. Being frustrated and mean to people, and yeah, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 being angry at people, angry at everybody. Come out. All that anger, come out, out of there, all the way out, all that anger, Jesus' name, all that anger, Jesus' name, go all the way out, all that being angry at people, come out in the name of Jesus, loose them and let them go, loose them and let them go all the way, in Jesus' name, every bit of it. Every bit of it, I bind and break the power of these demons. You have to let go of people. Let go of people right now. All the way out, feeling vengeful, wanting to get even. You come out of there. Come out, all that vengeful spirit. Come out. Want to be getting even? Really? Jesus said, I'll take care of it. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Are you going to take care of these that have done you wrong? You're going to take care of you. You can't do that because you're not God. You don't have the business doing that. It's not your place to do it. God said he'd do it, so let him do it. Amen. Amen. It's not a small thing with God when people do us wrong as God's people. Yeah, he'll take care of it. Okay? Let it go all the way out. All that vengeful spirit, come out. Come out. Come out, vengeful spirit, that violent thoughts in your mind, come out of there. Come out, that spirit of violence, having those violent thoughts that you'd like to see done to certain people or individuals, come out of there. All the way out of there, all out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. All the way, all the way, all the way, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out all the way, being harsh with people, that harshness. Come out, we break that curse of harshness. Come out of there, in Jesus' name. All that harsh spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All that harshness, go. All the way, that jealousy, you come out. That jealousy, come on, loose them and let them go. That jealousy, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out. Jealousy, I bind you. Come out. Come out all the way out, all the way out. Jealousy, I bind you. I bind you. Come out. All that jealousy, jealous of, yeah. And maybe it's a brother or sister you're jealous of. Maybe it's someone in the family, or maybe it's your neighbor, or maybe it's someone at church. Come out. All that jealousy, come out. All the way, go, 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 come out, come out, come out. That insecurity, insecure spirit, come out. We bind that insecurity. You know, the Lord doesn't want you to live an insecure life. He called you to, I mean, listen, we've been accepted in the Beloved, in Jesus. There's no reason for insecurity except that you still have demons of insecurity, right? That'd be the only way you would still have that, because you still have demons of insecurity that you either inherited through the family line or you picked up along life's road. And so, yeah, let's get rid of insecurity, because, listen, we are accepted in the Beloved. I mean, how much more? We've been grafted into the family of God. We've been brought in by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What do you have to be insecure about? Oh, but you don't know what I did, Pastor. You don't know what I said. And well, you know what? The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, so there is no place for insecurity. When you know that, you're okay. You're going to be all right, and you're going to be able to move on, see? That insecurity is a lying devil, so you have to go in Jesus' name. All that insecurity, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out, all that insecurity. You're a lying devil, lying to people. Just want to tell them they're insecure, that your salvation is not secure, you're not secure. You know, God doesn't love you. He's not really pleased with you. He's upset with you. The common lines of darkness, that's what you're hearing. And you recognize the source, saints, and if you recognize the source, you will deal with the source and reject it. And get that garbage out, right? Because it's all a lie. It's all a lie. The Lord loves us with an everlasting love, an unfailing love, and he will continue to do that in spite of our faults. You can have all kinds of faults that you just did yesterday, or even today. You might have yelled at the dog, kicked the wall. I don't know what you did, but you might have beat the bird. I don't know what you did, but I'm telling you, the Lord forgives your sin. Right? And you're accepted in the beloved regardless of that, because the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin and all unrighteousness, and he is not going to ever leave you nor forsake you as long as you stay with him. I mean, you could walk away. I know the once saved, always saved thing is definitely a deception, because you can walk away from God, but he isn't going to walk away from you. See, as long as you want him, he isn't going anywhere. And so I don't know what you did today or yesterday or this week, but I know that a lot of things you did, you say, how could I have done that as a Christian? Or you said things, how could I have said that as a Christian and think that God, why would you continue to love me? Why would you continue to put up with me? But he does, and he is, and he loves you, and it isn't going to fail because our God doesn't look at us the way we look at ourselves. How many know that? See? Hey, yeah, let's get rid of that wrong look, huh? The spirit of the wrong look, where you look at yourself according to a demon look. You come out of there right now, the wrong look spirit. Come out of there. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you, demon. Come out of there right now. Make people look at themselves the wrong way. Maybe you're a religious spirit too, a mixture. Come out of there, all the way out of different demons. Come out, religious spirits too. Come out and make people look at themselves as horrible and beat down, and God doesn't love them because they're so messed up, and how could God accept someone like you? Come out of there, all the way out. All those spirits that say stuff like that, you come out of there. Come out of there. You're lying devils. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way up. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus and go. You're exposed. Your darkness spirits are exposed, and you have to obey. You have to come out now in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out. Some of you are habitual worriers. You need to let that go. You need to quit worrying about things. You need to quit worrying. See, God didn't tell you that you could be a worrier. He called it to be a warrior, not a worrier. Okay? So all that worry spirit, you got to renounce that. You got to tell it, I am not a worrier anymore. I'm a warrior of the Lord. Amen? And you got to declare that over yourself in that area, because you've had a weakness to worry. You spent hours worrying about stuff that you should give to the Lord and let him take care of it. So we command the spirit of worry to be bound and come out in Jesus' name. Come out, you spirits of worry. Be bound in the name of Jesus and loose people and let them go. Come out, come out, come out, worry. Come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. The blood is against you, worry. We give those cares, those things that people worry about to Jesus right now. We give them to Jesus. We're not worrying about it anymore. The future is in the Lord's hand. The past is in the Lord's hands. And the presence is in the Lord's hand. And everything's going to be all right in the Lord, because we're in Christ. Hallelujah. Come out of there. All that worry. Let's worry. Wasted time worrying. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. He has your health. He has your life. He has your family. In Jesus' name, he has your finances. Come out, worry. come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all that worry spirit. We rebuke you, worry. We rebuke you, worry. The Lord rebuke you, worry. Come out in Jesus' name, all that anxiety and worry, anxiety about life, anxiety about the future. Come out. Come on, all the way out. I mean, no, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the future in his hand. He's got you in his hand. And there's nothing for you to waste your time worrying about. We cast that worry on the Lord. Things will work out. Things will be taken care of. You will be taken care of. You are in the hands of your Master, your Savior, your Lord, your King. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just give him thanks for that? Hallelujah. I don't have to worry. I'm giving him thanks. I'm putting it all in the hands of the one who has the whole world in his hands. Thank you, Jesus. He got it all. He got me. He's going to take care of it. The Lord is going to take care of me. Thank you, God. He's going to take care of the family. He's going to take care of the finance, take care of the food, take care of the rent, everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give thanks, Lord, and we just seal this deliverance too that has taken place tonight. In Jesus' name, to people, that they have what they got and keep what they got. In Jesus' name, thank you that they can keep their deliverance. They can walk in it, and they can keep getting more and more and more as they grow in grace and truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. If we step out and live in faith every day, there is no one like you, Lord, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. He will deliver us. He will deliver us. We are in his hand. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor. Amen. 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 So, looks like we're about out of time here tonight, so appreciate y'all listening. The OasisCommunityChurch.com is the website, and we'll see you back next Friday night. Bye-bye.
There is reason to believe that the end is drawing near by the things that I see happening all around me. To the wickedness of man, this world is coming down with its counterfeit securities that surround me. And when I lift my eyes to you in the visions of a night, Lord, you show me things that trouble and disturb me. People scattered in the streets like a waste of stones and ruins of Jerusalem that's fallen to the enemy. Who can endure in the day of the Lord his righteous indignation? Who can stand when the fire rains down from his holy habitation? In the Lord our God we must put our trust and repent of our transgressions. Enter the rock and hide in the dust till he lays low all oppression. In the day of the Lord. Lord, you tell me you've been hurt by our adulterous hearts, by the eyes that play the harlot for the idols. Now we each have gone our way, drinking waters of the Nile that pollute our minds with lies not from your Bible. And the prophet and the priest who live in luxury and ease have no concern for brokenness or mourning. They see visions of their own, saying peace throughout this land. But I say woe to me, the night comes with the morning. Who can endure in the day of the Lord his righteous indignation? Who can stand when the fire rains down from his holy habitation? The Lord our God, we must put our trust and repent of our transgressions. Into the rock and hide in the dust till he lays low all oppression. Who can endure in the
day of the Lord his righteous indignation. Who can stand when the fire rains down from his holy habitation? In the Lord our God we must put our trust and repent of our transgressions.
Enter the rock and hide in the dust till he lays low all oppression. Open the ears of the righteous one, desist from your own pleasures. Look to the Lord as the darkness comes, for the thief is seeking treasures. The serpent bites with the sting of death, the wicked in derision. And the east wind blows with the wielding sword in the valley of the vision. And the watchman stands in the midnight hour, stationed on the rampart, to seek the Lord by the Spirit's power and learn what his commands are. The vision hastens toward its goal, with Jesus Christ returning. Who can endure in the day of the Lord when his holy fire is burning?
Yes, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord's coming. And we look forward to his return. I do, anyway. And hope you do, too, because, man, what a day that will be. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eyes have seen his desire upon my enemy. That's going to take place, taking place. And we can trust him for that. He's going to deliver us out of all trouble. And we will see his desire upon our enemies. And we have our enemy, the devil, and all his host of hell and wickedness, the host of hell. Yeah. But God is with us in a mighty way. So let's just trust him. It's going to be okay. We'll keep trusting the Lord. And you can find rest in that trust, really. Because you're resting in him. He has a place of rest for each of us. We just need to learn to go there and stay there and quit running away from it. Yeah, stay in that place of rest, and he's got everything in his hands, and he'll work things out for our good. That's what he promised to do. All things work together for good to them that are called of God, right? And love God and called according to his purposes. So he'll work them for good, for your good. Amen. Trust God for that. You need to expect it too. So live in expectation of what good God is going to do in your life and for your family. Like, believe for your family. Don't let go of that either. The Bible says they'll be weary and well-doing. It's the well-doing to intercede for your family members that they will get saved and serve God. And be not weary in that. May not look like anything's happening, but don't get weary in it. Keep on interceding for those family members that they will get right with Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, good night, folks, and we'll see you back next Friday night. Lord bless your week and your weekend here, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.